You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Now, your host, Jotto Kapengian.
Hey, folks. Great to have the show. It's Jotto with CowboyPodcast.com, and I got my partner here today. I got Tony. Tony, good to have you on, my man. We're going to talk a little cowboy action.
It is your favorite topic in the world. Out of all the things you love, I cannot think of one thing you love more than the Dallas Cowboys.
I grew up with them. I was a little kid in New York. I followed Tony Dorsett. I said, wherever Tony D goes, I'm following him. And I couldn't have found a better spot. I love my Dallas Cowboys.
It's interesting that you followed a guy in college that was at Pittsburgh,
right,
and then wound up in Dallas.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Because yeah. I contend there were two types of kids in the 1970s.
Cowboys in Pittsburgh.
There were cowboy kids, and there were Steeler kids.
Yeah.
And if you lived in a city with an NFL team, chances are there you went to school with kids who were cowboy kids and kids who were Steeler kids.
And there was a minority of Oakland Raider fans, too, that were still a little pissed off about that whole catch that Franco Harris caught.
The immaculate reception or deception.
You know what? That shit would never work nowadays. No. I mean, with all the camera action going on, what do you think about that? You think he picked that ball off?
I think the ball was picked off, but I think by the letter of the law, it's like the Bird Emanuel rule from a NFC championship game years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
I think the ground helped him catch the
ball.
There
you go. He trapped it. My guy's saying he trapped it. And hey, folks, this season is going to be a little special season here. We've got probably the best player in the draft. We got proven player, right? Could you say that about Zeke?
Yeah, I can. I love this guy. I love Ezekiel Elliott.
You know what?
Not only is he a good running back, he is a great football player. And they were in a position where they needed to take the best football player that they could take, and he will do a lot more than just rack up rushing yards for this team.
I tell you what, I think you had a lot to do with me thinking about that because I went with our DB out of Florida State.
Jalen Ramsey?
Right.
Oh, Jotto, you couldn't have gone wrong.
And we've already got problems over there.
You couldn't have gone wrong. Well, you're getting Scandrick back, first of all, right? The return of Orlando, Scandrick solves a partly huge issue.
Partly. It's like putting your finger in a dam here. We got Claiborne and Carr. These two guys did not intercept the ball last year. Carr did not intercept the ball for the last 2 years. You got to have at least some sort of participation being around that ball. You know what I'm saying, folks? You guys all know it out there, too.
Look, you have to get a deflection. You got to get something bouncing off a helmet. Where it falls into your lap.
Carr did improve on tackles. Why? Because they threw the ball against him.
There you go.
I mean, you don't want that. Yeah, that's one stat that you don't want to claim right there, folks. Anyway, we do have on that side, we got J.J. Wilcox. He's going to be pretty tough in the backfield there as a DB. He's a safety. And our other player, what was his name? Orlando Scandrick. No, I knew his name. Orlando Scandrick, we don't know what we're going to have with him. I mean, the situation that he's got, you don't know what's going to happen there, what type of player he's got coming back. I think they're going looking around right now at a DB from the Giants. He's not the answer, this Prince Amukamara. You remember him?
I do remember him, and he's a stopgap solution.
Giants are like, we're not re-signing you. Get out of here.
Yeah. Come on. This is a team from the NFC East saying we're not re-signing somebody.
Right. And okay. They don't mind him going to the rivalry.
Exactly. So they're not sweating it.
No, and that's usually something that everyone just frowns upon, you know? So it's obvious they don't mind it at all. They're moving. I think they've indicated no big signings. The Cowboys are not looking at any big-name signings, which they're indicating to you right now that we are not going after any big-time free agents, whatever out there. You know anything that's out there that worth even looking at?
In the words of a great Texan, Gene Stallings, nothing that turns me on.
Yep. Gene Stallings, man. Why don't they do that anymore, by the way? I always thought that era with Tom Landry, Gene Stallings, that offensive line, they would go up and down.
Oh, the check? I loved it.
That was so cowboy vintage, yeah, man. It was. That was beautiful watching that. Where you see the offensive line in the synchronized way. They all go up together and go down together, and it was beautiful. I don't know if there's a rule against that now. There's a rule out for everything, so I'm not sure.
No, you can still you could still do it. But once you come to the set
format, yeah,
then you are locked in.
Yeah, you're locked in on that. Well, that brings us to the offensive line. I mean, we got an offensive line that everyone's talking about as arguably the best offensive line. Tony, take a guess where they were last year on stats-wise against the pass and against the rush. I know you're not going to know, but just take a wild guess.
For a 4-12 team?
Did they even reach four?
It's God, man. My gut tells me it's got to be bottom half in both categories.
Okay. On the pass, they were ranked number 17th again in the pass rush.
Okay, that's middle of the pack.
Yeah.
That's middle of the pack.
Okay. If you're so damn good and you got a Tony Romo back there, you got to protect them. Well, you got to protect them.
You're getting the help because this is why I tried to sell you on Elliott. They have called him, in no uncertain terms,
right,
one of the best blocking backs to come out of college football.
That's what we were missing last year.
And in my opinion, what I saw in watching him for 2 years at Ohio State was some type of hybrid between Emmitt Smith and Marshall Faulk.
Wow. You really?
No, I know that. And not in the statistical category, but in the fact that I know where he's going to run. He's going to have no problem running between the tackles. And I know that he can block like Marshall Faulk blocked for Kurt Warner.
You know what? You need that
DeMarco Murray.
God, I was about to call him Ware. DeMarco Murray type of back that picks up that linebacker coming in. And last year, they didn't have that guy.
No.
They didn't have that guy. And Tony
free
ran
rush
around. And yes. That's what basically got him hurt.
Timing's off. Everything's off. Throw in the combination of no Dez Bryant. Scandrick's not there on the other side of the ball. And you start to see the recipe for the disaster that the 2015 Dallas Cowboys season turned into.
What do you think about this guy, Lyle Collins? All right, he's gonna be the offensive lineman right now. He's the LSU player that we picked up basically free last year due to some stuff happening in his life and so forth. Mm-hmm. We picked up this kid. He's been outstanding. He's going to be starting. Now, we could have gotten rid of Ron Leary, the offensive lineman, the guard. And Ron says, you know what? I don't want to play for Dallas. Trade me because I'm not getting time here. Why wouldn't we have traded him in the draft to pick something up?
You don't know that they didn't try. And if they did try, was there anything they liked in value
Tony, they said, we just didn't get the offers for a high-profile player like this, and they've got this guy on the bench. I mean, come on.
You'd like to do better.
You'd like to do better.
You would like to do better. Let me tell you about Collins. Okay, first of all, I like kids from the SEC. Think you know me well enough to know I am a huge SEC-biased guy.
There's no question.
But there's two other things I like here. I like 6'5", and I like 321.
And he's fast.
At 6'5", 321, that's a svelte. That's almost a skinny, huge man.
And he runs like Nate Newton. I mean, Nate Newton ran good, man.
He did.
These guys exploded off. He reminds me a lot of that. And I'll tell you what, that's where it all starts, the offensive line. The Cowboys have put a lot of money and effort behind it. You know what? First time in a long time, I think that something's going to happen here with your running back coming in, Zeke. I think that he's going to change things around. Maybe we got a chance this year.
You do have a chance. Before last year, knowing how big a Cowboy fan you were, 2014, this team was 12-4. And I had told you in August of last year, barring injury, think you got a Super Bowl-type shot. Well, guess what? The barring injury, you throw that out the door because it happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I got five questions for you that are posed by Fox Sports. These are good questions.
Five questions here.
The return of Rome O'Brien and Scandrick. Here's a stat. 12-4 in 2014. Without them, for the majority of the time, 4-12 in 2015. Just those three alone. Big target for Romo. I'm not even going to mention Elliott. Bryant, just his presence. Scandrick, just his presence. Does that get you right back to 500 alone, just with those three?
Well, I'm going to take this one step further. Okay. If I just have Tony Romo, I'm better than the 500 team. Because Tony Romo, I mean, without his presence, you see a team that's just not there anymore. You see a team that's not into it.
No.
You see an offense that goes 1-2-3, and it's very predictable what they're calling because they don't want to take any chances.
They can't afford to. They can't afford to. And I remember some of those games late last year just thinking, oh, my goodness, just something, anything. And because the offense couldn't stay on the field, puts the defense at even more of a disadvantage, all right? So you like them better just because of the return. Now let's talk about the addition, Ezekiel Elliott. Again, I don't think you were ever
I wasn't.
You were never
I
wasn't. Against Ezekiel Elliott. You were just saying
I thought needed a cornerback.
The cornerback was a better service, and Jalen Ramsey certainly fit the bill.
Yeah.
Okay?
I kept thinking of Deion.
Well, while I have an SEC bias for players, I certainly have a Florida State bias for defensive backs that goes all the way back to primetime.
Right.
I do. I mean, if you tell me defensive back from Florida, that little unconscious thing, Florida State. Unconscious thing in my mind says Seminole defensive back, and immediately in my mind, dude's elevated.
That's amazing, too, because some teams always have that pedigree. Like Penn State
linebackers.
In the 70s, 80s, 90s, I don't know now, but they were noted for linebackers.
I think of linebacker. Matt Millen.
Yeah, well, you had a whole list of them. Didn't you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jack Lambert?
Jack Lambert,
Penn State. From there. I mean, list goes on and on. Penn State has always been known for the middle linebacker. USC, always noted for their wideouts. Big wide receivers.
Oh, no doubt.
UCLA for their QBs.
QBs.
Yeah, Miami for their QBs.
QBs. And killer defensive linemen.
Right.
I mean, just beast. So, yeah, and, you know, those things are real because of this, I think.
Every
day through your college career against the best,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, you practice against offenses that are no slouches either, right? So I don't think you were ever against Elliott, but you certainly thought there was a need. The problem was Elliott wasn't going to be around the next time he came around. There wasn't even going to be close.
But this kind of contradicts what you're saying with the two teams before that picking up these quarterbacks. Now, one came from California. Okay, California.
Let's cut to the chase. The Montana. Los Angeles Rams and their first round pick of a Cal Bear.
Right.
They needed a quarterback. They took a quarterback
from California.
From California.
Right.
God bless you. Hope it works out there, LA. Hope it works out. The kid from South Dakota or North
South
Dakota?
Dakota? Yeah, okay. North Dakota, South Dakota, whatever.
I think, you know, very, very interesting potential upside. But that was a lot of need.
Right.
And the Cowboys had this two-way thing where they certainly did need a running back. You would not argue with that, and they certainly did need a corner.
Right.
You know, so Elliott comes along.
We needed a QB, too. I mean, you obviously can't win without him.
I think what pushed it over the edge, and I'd love to have heard the conversations in the war room at Happy Valley.
Oh, that's got
to
be unreal.
I would love to have heard. But I think what had to push it
you
over the edge.
You think there was some argument going on there?
I would hope so.
Because there were a lot of people like me with strong conviction towards the DB.
Absolutely.
Florida State. We got to get them.
And you're not wrong. Your conviction is not wrong.
Right.
But I thought what might tip the balance of decision-making in the draft for Ezekiel Elliott in that spot was twofold. And it's exactly what they claim in what I'm reading you here. A, it's the blocking. But B, because you can block, you're a third down back now. You're a three down back.
Right.
If you're a three down back, now Romo has a serious check down option on those third and five, third and six, who can break a tackle and pick up a first down. So I don't care so much about like what Ezekiel's stats are, because here's one stat that I really believe you should pay attention to on running backs. And I'm going to reference Marshall Faulk again. Tell me how many times you move the chains, especially tell me how many times you move the chains on third down.
Right. I'm assuming when it came down to like, well, the thing with the Rams back then, though, they always had third down and short. They didn't depend too much on
exactly
third down and seven.
That particular group,
eight.
Right? Yeah. That particular group did, and it's different than the Emmitt Smith, Aikman, Irvin Cowboys, who on third down had a variety of options.
Right.
Now I think you're back to a variety of options.
You've got
Dez Bryant.
You've got
so if Dez, you know, suddenly is into triple coverage with safety over the top and all that jazz, and Romo's like, that's three players.
You're definitely right.
Now Elliott in the open field, even in the NFL, should be able to get you those 6, 7, 8 yards and move the chains. And this is something this team could not do last year.
I think what you said though is so, I mean, it depicts Cowboys because they do a lot of changing on that offensive line. They call everything. Romo likes to change it
up
a lot. The guy notices the defense and so forth. How great is it now, what you're just saying? Just drop it off to Zeke. Let him
go.
It's
an unbelievable safety outlet, and it keeps your quarterback healthier.
Right. And this is the old-time type of 1990s type of Cowboy team.
It
off to Emmitt.
Yeah, it gets back into that zone. Okay, number three. The division itself, the NFC East, traditionally, it's been a pretty tough division. Right now, the NFC East?
I guess it's wide open, isn't it?
Won't 9-7 take it?
Yeah, you're definitely right. You don't know what's going to take it. If the Redskins put up a fight last year, it's wide open. But again, if my Cowboys are healthy, if Tony Romo just stays healthy, that's all we want. And that'll do it. That'll do it, my friends.
Well,
what do you got over there, Brian? You're looking really concerned. No, he's not. He's not.
I thought he was learning to love the Cowboys.
Yeah,
he's learning to love them.
He's looking confused. Matter of fact, we're all confused about the Cowboys right now. What will we have 2016?
Well, here's something you know you're going to have. Question number four to you, the offensive line. Rate it right now, Jono. Where is this particular offensive line, which is highly touted,
right?
Where are they in terms of the other 32 teams?
I gotta tell you, Tony, I'm really, I think they're overpriced. I think they're underplayed. I haven't seen it yet for them to get the bill, the big hands clapping and all that. I just don't see it right now. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, 12-4, when they were 12-4, again, they had Murray, and Murray, maybe to your point, Zeke will get that linebacker and so forth. But to me right now, these guys did not play good last year. They did not protect our QB like they were supposed to. And it showed. Tony Romo, how many bones did he break last year? Guys like him and Witten, man, they play with punctured ribs and shit like that. You're talking about a team here, players that do not want to get off the field. It's amazing. It's amazing how strong they are, and we should be rewarded by the football gods. One Super Bowl. For the love of God, what do we do? What do we do?
I don't know what happened.
Maybe Jerry Jones kicks back, a deal
with the devil was made for the three Super Bowls in the 90s.
We got all those politicians sitting with Jerry Jones up there. I think God's like, I don't like those politicians.
I know you left a hole in the roof for me to watch the Cowboys.
Yeah. But you're blocking it with this big-ass TV.
I love it. I sit in that stadium, and it's hard. I have to remind myself to look at the field. Because I will sit there and just look at the TV.
Oh, it's
I don't even know if you can call it a TV.
Oh, and those cheerleaders just coming right at you.
Well, I was at one of the first year the place opened, went to the game, and they did the cheerleaders. You know, they're on the board as usual, and they look great, right? They're
fantastic.
Fabulous. They did the third quarter, because, you know, they play the whole game on the board during the game. The third quarter was going to be in 3D. And they 3D. Gave the yes, they gave the crowd 3D glasses. So I was like, okay, you know, put my 3D glasses on.
Me? Who were they playing?
San Diego Chargers. This is a couple years ago. I mean, again, yeah, it's first year that AT&T Stadium, as they call it now, opened. And so I'm sitting there. No one's looking at the field. They're looking at the board, 3D glasses. And it cuts to the cheerleaders. And you can hear a groan because essentially what everyone thought was they were going to get those great Dallas cheerleader in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't that type of 3D.
They weren't coming at you.
No, it's the 3D that you could reach into, not the 3D that came out at you.
Well, you could still reach at them.
No. See, they didn't come out at you. Yeah. It felt like you could reach your hand into the TV, but we thought we were going to have
my luck. I would reach into someone's Diet Coke or something, thinking that's a couple cans. Boom! Now I got a big fight. I'm kicked out of the state.
They looked so. Oh man!
One thing I'm really ticked off about you, Cowboy fans that go to the Cowboy games, and I was there a couple times. I'm sick and tired of seeing our seats being sold to the opposition all the time. We're seeing a lot more of that, and I'm getting tired of it.
Well, there's a couple reasons. I don't like it for a lot of reasons. It happens at other stadiums. I'll grant you that, Jono. 20 years ago, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have SeatGeek. You didn't have StubHub.
Okay.
You didn't have. It was much harder to get a road ticket.
I got you.
Okay. Now, well, you got a company that wants to offload tickets. They're not picky about who buys it.
Yeah,
but when you see the Packers down there and you start to see green,
yeah.
When you start to – and this is did not happen at Texas Stadium.
No. I was there for the 49er game and half the field on the better seating, you might say.
Yeah, the lower bowl.
We had a lot of red, and they were very loud, and same could be said of the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears showed up, too.
There are teams that travel well in the NFL.
And this one goddamn goofball kept standing up every time the Bears would score. He'd sing the stupid-ass song.
Oh, one of those songs?
Yes, it was one of these stupid Chicago Bears songs. And one of these cowboy guys go, "Why don't you sit the hell down, boy?" And he didn't sit down. He cared less. He didn't. He ignored us so much, man. It was unbelievable.
I got to give it to the Cowboy fans. I know they're frustrated. I know you.
I'm frustrated.
I know because now it's getting past the point of okay, this is just a downtrend.
Yeah.
But the franchise, let's be honest, has been nothing but mediocre now for two decades.
What do you think it was? Do you think Jimmy put a curse on him before he left?
I don't know, Jimmy or Jimmy's hair. I do think that was a turning point, even though Super Bowl was won with Switzer.
I know, but that Switzer team was Jimmy's team still.
It was. I felt like, look, I'll call it a dynasty because when you win 3 out of 4, that's a dynasty.
Yeah.
But I felt one of the great all-time dynasties might have been lost with Johnson's departure back then.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a long time to recover from that. But in the NFL – you should be able to recover much quicker than two decades.
We're talking about lately, we've been talking about David Ortiz of Boston Red Sox riding off in the sunset with a possibly MVP type of caliber season. And Jimmy did that. But it wasn't Jimmy's choice. I don't really think Jimmy wanted to leave the Dallas Cowboys.
Why would you want to leave?
No, I don't think he did. I think Jerry and him just didn't get along. It was a power structure there.
Exactly. I mean, they were never expecting that to go down the way it did. You know, there's a couple great jobs in coaching in America, right? Maybe the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Certainly the manager of the New York Yankees.
Yankees. I was going to say the Yankees. And certainly
the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but our head coach right now, Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, to me, is just a puppet of Jerry. Whatever Jerry wants, Jason just, his face turns red and he'll call the shot. I mean, his cheeks get all red up. Jason, to me, is just like a puppet government of Poland during Russian occupation there, you know?
Yes, whatever you say.
And I will glorify it. Not just whatever you say, but I will really. I mean, not one time does he just say, you know what, this is what my boss told me, but yeah, I like it. Nothing like that. He's more of a, I love this idea, and me and Jerry came up with this, and this is one that we just have to work together and get this thing done.
I think here's what I think. I think Jerry Jones as the general manager of the team has been a detriment to the team. Not a complete horrible, incredible.
No, but the guy cares about his team. He does. Really, really wants to do good. He's not like the damn L.A. Rams / St. Louis Rams.
Stan Kroenke?
Yeah. He's nothing like a Kroenke.
No, he's not.
This guy really wants to see the Cowboys do good.
There's more than dollars and cents to it.
You say is Al Davis. But
just
not
win,
that
baby.
Controversial. Not that controversial. I mean, this guy gets along with the commissioner.
Jerry's
that.
A hell of a lot smarter. I think Jerry is the commissioner of the NFL, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
I mean, if you heard some of the stories about how the Rams got moved to L.A. and how Jerry was so influential.
He was a factor.
Because it raises the stakes, it raises the bar, and rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
And TV contracts are coming up, and, you know, you want to get more money. And if you want to get more money for road games, you need better facilities, and you certainly need facilities like he was the first one to build.
Right.
You know.
And you know what? I don't think he asked for any of that money. I think he put it out of his pocket. He didn't ask
for it. I know a lot of it came out of his pocket. Arlington is in for a nice chunk, but they also, I would hope, are getting a nice chunk back in return because, personally, I love going.
It's like a big UFO.
It is a
huge
UFO. I love the fact that when you're coming into Dallas, and if you're sitting on the correct side of the airplane, you can look out on the horizon and see that stadium, man.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a Cowboy diehard, even if you're not, hell, even if you're not an NFL fan, even if you're not a football fan, it's just something you got to look at and go, wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is, they should, why don't they have a huge blue star over the top of the stadium? This is what I've never understood.
Yeah, you're right about
put
that.
Put a huge blue star, you know, and the roof is closed, it'll look great, and the roof is open, and we still get the idea.
And you know what, Cowboy fans, we're going to be on the show. We're going to be doing this show weekly. We're going to be doing this show during football games. I don't know how many Tony's got in him. I told him jump in on this.
I cannot wait.
If you like this show and if you like me and Tony working it together, we'd love to hear from you guys. And this is brand new to us. We just want to give you the fans' perspective on how we are and how I am about my Dallas Cowboys. And it's kind of like a vent. Get this off. Because so many times I watch the damn game and I'm like, I can't believe he did that.
Well,
I can't believe they're trying to run the clock out. They should try to get a first down here.
After 2 decades, because it's been now, what Super Bowl are we going into this year? 51?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I think we're going into 51 because Super Bowl 50, Super Bowl L.
Right.
Was yeah, that was the.
Get rid of those damn.
No, they are. That's it. Their L was the last one. Did you know that?
Good.
Yeah, it's now numeral 5, numeral 1, 51.
All right, 51.
Because I don't even know how you do 51 in Roman numerals.
I don't understand.
Is it LI?
I don't get all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's 20 years without your Dallas Cowboys being in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now let's go back through the history of the first 30 years of the NFL. They damn near made Super Bowl I.
Right.
They're in Super Bowl V.
Right.
Then they're in 9. Or is it 9, 10?
We have been in
12, 13.
Can we say we've been in every decade in the 60s and up? 60s?
I don't know about the 60s because I think Super Bowl V technically was 70, 71.
What's it, 71?
Yeah, the game against the Colts.
No, I'm talking about Green Bay.
Well, the Ice Bowl was in 67.
Okay.
Which technically was the NFL championship.
So right there, we're in the 60s. 70s, we were against Baltimore. We were against Miami. We were against Pittsburgh twice. And Denver.
And Denver. Super Bowl XII. First indoor Super Bowl, by the way.
So how do they say Pittsburgh, I guess, by how many they won?
They've got 6.
I know, but in the 70s.
They got 4.
They got 4.
Yeah.
They got 4 in the 70s?
Now, technically, 1 came in January of 1980, but that's the 79
was that
season.
Against the Rams they had?
Yeah, Super Bowl
Ferragamo and
14.
All that. Yeah.
Where they actually beat the Rams in. The Steelers beat the Rams in L.A.
Was that the one?
Rose Bowl.
Yeah. So the Cowboys, they had a nice, respectful years in the 70s. 90s, it went to hell a little bit.
Right after
80s. 80s, we went to hell.
But that was necessary. I'm telling you.
You think so?
Yeah, because you had to reload.
Okay, so
there are two things that happened.
I guess 82 was that catch that I wanted to cuss out, but he just threw that ball. Montana just threw that ball.
You contend that Joe Montana was throwing it out of the back of the end zone.
He was throwing that out of bounds.
And that Dwight Clark.
He just snagged it.
Was it Dwight Clark?
Yes. He just snagged it.
Jumped up in the air and caught a ball.
It's a catch. It's called a catch. For love of God, I see walls and that. All I seen was Ed Too Tall jumping too early. If he would have just went up, oh my God.
It was an era-defining play.
Why? Why was that so? It's like a nail that's dug in us.
Two things. I think because the Cowboys at that point still a mixture of pass and run. Okay, a balanced team, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco wasn't balanced. It was the evolution of the West Coast pass and the short pass and utilization of a quarterback like Joe Montana.
Right.
So I've always wondered. If that goes incomplete and the Cowboys move on to Super Bowl 16
and win Cincinnati.
Super Bowl 16.
Wasn't that against Cincinnati?
In Detroit.
Yeah, well, that would have been us.
Okay. Jesus. If the franchise goes on to win that, suddenly you've won Super Bowls 12 and 16. But does the NFL, is it slower to uptake the West Coast offense? Because once the Niners got on a roll, game changed, folks.
Well, who do you think was more dominant back then, Frisco or the Bears?
No one.
In the 80s.
In the overall 80s, Frisco.
Really?
One season.
The Bears,
the
right?
The Bears.
Yeah, one season. And they were a powerful season,
unbelievable
too.
Team.
How the hell did they just have a demise like that?
Buddy Ryan left.
Buddy Ryan left.
He went to coach the Philadelphia Eagles.
Jimmy left.
Coaches. Football is one of the great sports. As a matter of fact, there's two great sports, in my opinion, hockey and football, because the coach matters so much to the players, and the players truly will love their coach.
Right.
You know, when you hear the Cowboys like Randy White, your Cowboys, let's even take a guy from the 80s, Billy Bates, for instance.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it.
Well, now, Billy Bates, he was on some bad teams. Billy Bates was on the rotten team.
But he loved Tom Landry.
Oh, he did.
And the coaches loved Tom Landry, and I think the players love Jimmy because Jimmy let them be them.
Right.
Sometimes to their detriment, but, you know, he let them be them, and they certainly were successful.
What didn't he say at one time, Jimmy, if this guy falls asleep – I'm firing him.
Yeah.
He can walk. If Troy Aikman falls asleep, I'm just waking him up and saying, watch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Troy, could you pay attention, please?
Yeah. And he made it clear.
There's different rules for different guys,
right.
And we all know it.
He made that clear.
Yeah. And coaches know it. Players know it. Everyone knows it, man.
Hey, guys, if you want to reach out to our show, it's called CowboysPodcast.com. That's a beautiful name. I'm surprised Jerry Jones hasn't bought this name yet.
Maybe he'll buy it from you.
Yeah. CowboysPodcast.com, and we'd love to hear your questions. And you know what? If you want to bring up old memories of any, it goes on and on with so many histories about.
Well, that's
Cowboys
what I want to ask
so
you.
Forth. Yeah,
you know, you came onto the scene. You're slightly older than I am. We're not divulging age, but you can probably guess from talking about Super Bowls V and whatnot,
right? At Super Bowl V, I was talking the Denver Broncos was my Super Bowl.
That was your Super Bowl 12?
Yeah, that was when I was a little kid.
Yeah. The your favorite, I only had two people who ever went up in the wall of my room as a poster.
Right.
Okay. I only had two.
Mine? You want to know
I want
mine?
To know yours. If you had, if you did
I
that.
I did.
So who did you do?
I had Randy White in a blue.
Oh, in the blue.
In the blue, and he's got the big cast on his arms, like, you know, he had those big waffle-looking things. And Tony Dorsett in the blue again, getting ready for a big cut with his little towel dangling down. He was such a beautiful-looking player, too, man. You look at Tony D.
He had grace.
Oh, yeah. Him and Eric Dickerson were probably the most beautiful-looking players. The pads had to look right on these guys.
First of all, most people look good in the silver and white.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's a unique, timeless outfit.
Well, you're right.
Okay?
You're right.
But damn, did Dickerson look good in his shoulder pads. Dickerson because when you saw that, you're like, God, how am I going to tackle that? He could spear me with one of his shoulder pads.
He could. He ran like a Mustang, too.
He was. He was Mustang. Yeah, don't mention to him about being paid. He don't like that.
That was SMU's in Dallas, aren't they?
They are. So SMU right there in Dallas, and TCU over in the Fort Worth side.
Boy, what a team that would have been if we got Dickerson back then.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you? What do you think about the schedule for 2016? It's there's something the NFL I wish they would do. I don't know how people would like it. I always thought it would be cool, since there are four teams in a division now, if you began and ended the season with your division opponents.
Be honest with you, I don't even think the divisions are important anymore. It's an NFC division, NFC conference, as in one, yeah. NFC. And I don't think that conference stuff even plays a role anymore. Because back then we had the St. Louis Cardinals as that fifth team, right?
Right, and Eagles, Giants, Redskins.
Yeah, and it wasn't that big of a format. I just don't know how they make one team go out to the West. It has no geographic purposes. How the hell are we in the NFC East when we should be in the NFC South?
There's an interesting story about the original formation of the divisions.
And I wouldn't mind you. I wouldn't want to go to the NFC South now.
No, you don't.
I belong in the NFC
East.
Look,
the Dallas Cowboys need to be playing in Washington, D.C.,
right,
in New York City.
Taking on the Redskins.
And in Philadelphia,
right,
once a year. It's part of the reason the Cowboys are a huge national brand.
Right.
Is because of that.
Right. I totally
the original. So back, apparently, when they needed to, when they brought the AFL and the NFL together,
right,
they had to have some of the teams come over from the NFL into the AFC.
Okay.
And, of course, that was the Steelers, the Browns, and the Colts.
Okay.
Elected to move to the newly formed American Football Conference with the original AFL teams. So they had three different scenarios of what the divisions could look like.
All right.
And they couldn't agree. And the legend is that Pete Rozelle had his secretary pick one of the envelopes out of a hat.
And that's the format they went with.
Yes. And because the Cowboy ownership, Tex Schramm at the time, was influential, he knew he wanted to be playing East Coast big market teams because of the advent of television.
Right.
And it has served that decision, whether it's legend, truth, or not, has served the franchise very well for almost 50 years now.
I wouldn't imagine playing anyone else. I mean, I hate them. The Giants, Giant fans out there, I don't like you.
You should. You know, here's a problem.
Giants, I don't like you. The Redskins, I don't like you. Eagles,
you're apathetic
you
about them.
Yeah.
You're apathetic.
49ers from the West are the only ones that are in that same category with me that it's a downright hate.
Let's go through the schedule real quick. Opening against the New York Giants, September 11th, late afternoon game. Next week at Washington, then hosting Chicago, then at San Francisco, then hosting Cincinnati, and then the week before they take a bye week, which comes on October 23rd is the bye, they get a trip to Lambeau Field for week 6, October 16th. The Niners are a mess. Washington, New York, you have no clue what you're getting. The Bears,
Tony, we could talk about
Cincinnati.
The schedule.
Yeah.
We could talk about this.
Tell me what you're going to have just at that point. Is this team going to be after 6 weeks?
It really depends on what Cowboy team is going to be out there, on what stage of health and all that. I'm convinced if Tony Romo is healthy, I think we're going to have a great season. But again, all these teams, man, I don't know what happens with you guys. Do you take an extra vitamin when you play against us? Or
there's no – you know that. Come on.
Something that
Stop. You
is
know
in
it.
The air
you know
when
it.
They play the Cowboys.
There are probably three teams in the NFL, regardless of record, that your run-of-the-mill NFL team really gets up for.
And that's
one of them is the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. The other would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the third one, in my opinion, would be the Green Bay Packers.
No, I would think the New England Patriots would be definitely.
I think everyone gets up for it. You get cheated, and then it don't matter. And you know, your headphones in your headset as you're sitting there during the game is going to turn off.
Yeah,
you know, so you might as well bring your own walkie-talkies and Citizen band radios to the stadium with you because you know it's all going to go haywire.
Well, hey, folks, we got a lot more to talk about, and we're running out of time here. We love to have you guys chime in. You know what? This is a great show because we're actually going to be watching a Cowboy game, too, and talking to you guys on this as well. I mean, right then and there, where do you find that, Tony? This is going to be a great process.
It's a new thing. Other people have done it, but I cannot wait for you, Jono, to do this. What it is basic. It's a Facebook Periscope live broadcast of you, one of the biggest Cowboy fans
right.
ever put on the face right. of the earth, right. live and die with the team. I work in the same office as right. this gentleman, folks.
Hey.
And on a Monday morning, should the Cowboys be coming off a loss, there's no amount of coffee, there's no amount of alcohol that can take the edge off this man.
I'm not really talking to anyone either.
No, you don't. You go in a hole.
Yeah.
You go in a hole.
For about 2-3 days.
So about 2-3 days. I feel that the whole Cowboy fan base goes in that hole with you.
We got a strong conviction on the show, guys, and we hope that you guys are as strong. And just let us have it, and we'll let you guys we'll fill you in on everything that we know as well. Before the game, after the game, we'll give you a rundown. I can't wait for this show, and it's going to be a great one. From Jono, Tony, Brian, thanks for working the boards. CowboyPodcast.com coming your way next time, too. Hey, check us out. Take care, guys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at CowboysPodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets.